Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. I held a cup standing with his hand on his car.
Said there's a red bar now. That's the late, great SRV bringing us back. A little Stevie Ray, seven, little Texas Blues there. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. That's Tin Pan Alley. That's a great song on that album. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dave Anderson's here. He's our good friend, our longtime Brain Trust member. He's the president of Dave Anderson's Learn to Lead, the author of, is it 14 books coming up now, the next one?
It'll be 14 with the next one.
Of course, and of course, I'm not positive. But I'm gonna say that we've launched at least 10 of those on this show.
I think you have. You want
almost all of them, because you go back a dozen years with us, and so we're going to expect to do that on this next one too. By the way,
well, absolutely. Let's keep the tradition going.
Absolutely, we got to do that. So we're talking about bad hires. Dave is a pro with this, folks. He's had decades of experience in bringing. I'm sure Dave, like those of us who've been around a while, you've made all the mistakes.
Oh, gosh, yes, and they still haunt you. You think
yeah.
about them, you know,
yeah.
what they cost you and others. And I think you got to be aware of the mistakes. You know, when you look at what hiring experts say, there's two big ones. They say the first mistake we make in an interview, and that's where it really happens, is emotional decisions.
Right.
We lose our objectivity. We get too sold on their personality or their appearance or our personal biases or stereotypes, Jim, and we start liking them too soon. And then when we do that, we stop assessing them because you're easy on them and
right.
you want them to make it.
That's right.
So you start to exaggerate their strengths and minimize their weaknesses
right.
and start selling the job, which actually, if you do that too soon, cheapens the job.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, somebody comes in and you don't like them, emotional decision, whatever, bad hair day, not you know, you got a bias
mm-hmm.
or a stereotype that they don't look the part, and you don't even give them a chance. And they say 2 to 3 minutes in, either way, you either get excited or you get disengaged.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't like them, you start exaggerating their weaknesses and minimizing
mm-hmm.
their strengths and telling them why the job's really not for them. And the fact is, you got to keep the emotions out. You've got to have some pre-structured questions. You've got to know what to look for and understand that if you like them too soon, you're on your way to making a hiring error.
Mm-hmm.
Stay analytical. And here's, you know, and it's not a casual conversation.
And you know, one of the things that do you recommend, if you're going to be the ultimate decision maker, do you recommend not even being the first one or two lines of defense? Have
yeah.
people, have them being screened by other people before you even make the final decision so that, you know, that's what I do around here. I mean, I don't
yep.
even, I make the final decision, but I don't even know who they are until my folks have handed me the last two.
Well, I agree, because number one, your time is really, really valuable.
Plus, they're going to have to work with these people more than I am, probably.
And they are. And I'm looking for a way for them to eliminate them, not to see if they like them, but do they measure up to our values?
Right.
What have they accomplished?
Right.
And I don't want to waste my time with that, and they are going to have to be the ones that work with them most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, multiple voices in the interview.
And you absolutely have got to have different interviews, right? I mean, not
yes.
you can't be the only interviewer.
No, oh no.
You got to have get somebody else's perspective on this, and it has to be somebody whose opinion you'll accept.
That's right, and someone who actually knows what to look for and isn't just thinking, "Oh, that's such a nice person," and you know, you
right.
got to have someone that's doing it that's actually had a little background or training, at least a book or something.
Right.
In how to do it, otherwise they're going to screw it up, and they might even ask illegal questions, Jim, which is very common
right.
when unqualified
oh, yeah.
people interview.
Oh, yeah. Well, and make sure that the person who interviews them ahead of you is the person that if this person doesn't work out, they have to take up the slack.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. They need to have that skin in the game.
That's
now,
right.
Now they've got more invested, you know. And so number one, emotional decisions. They tell us that's the number one hiring error.
Right.
It's not a casual conversation. It's not
right.
a good old boy get acquainted session. It's a fact-finding expedition. Be polite, but be firm and thorough. And there's too much at stake for this to be amateur hour.
Right.
Then the second biggest mistake, according to experts, is desperation. You let yourself get so desperate that now you're compromising and making really foolish you know, judgmental decisions.
Right.
Your judgment's clouded. It's the old adage, as desperation rises, standards fall, right?
Right.
It's true in hiring, and it's true in dating, which people find out,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, but also desperation a lot of times it's an extension of the fact that you probably let the last person stay too long.
Exactly.
Because it's a similar type of thing, isn't it? You get to the point where you're desperate because I need to get rid of this person, but I don't want to have to go through the process of bringing somebody new on. I don't have to go through all that.
That's right. And then you have no one in the pipeline.
And you get yourself into this quandary, this tizzy that's now everybody's unproductive.
Everyone's unproductive. You're not networking. You have no one in your pipeline, no one possibly that you've talked to about maybe working at your company in the future. You have no network, mm-hmm. and so your pipeline is dried up.
Do you like asking employees if they can recommend someone?
Oh, I'm a big person I'm big for referrals.
Okay.
Good people don't want to work with idiots. And so, they're not going to bring in sluggards.
Right.
Now, I'm still going to be hard on them if it's their brother-in-law or cousin
right.
or whoever. You know, they're still not going to get an easy road. I still stick with my process. And, we have certain questions we ask, background checks, all these things that we do. But I appreciate a referral.
To me, that's how you, if you've got a great company, you've got a great culture, if your employees are happy, there's some friend out there that may be working for somebody else that somebody else doesn't want to lose, where they're not happy and they're saying, man, I'd love to work for a company like yours.
Exactly. And, referrals should be the primary place where
right.
you're looking. And good people want to work with good people. They're not going to bring in people to make their lives more miserable.
Right. Right.
But they still need to pass your standards.
Right.
It doesn't matter what their relation or how
I need your website again, Dave.
Yes, it's Learn to Lead. Learn to Lead, just like it sounds, .com.
And the title of the last book, because I forget.
The last book, it's not rocket science.
There you go. All right, so check it out. Quick break, 10-10, more on bad hires, not avoiding bad hires, with our good friend Dave Anderson. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.